Yeah, so the prayer room is really the central hub of what we do. Our culture is really kind of built around coming to the Lord morning, noon, and night. So from 6 to 8 in the morning, there is a worship team. So you would walk in there and you'd see a full worship team with prayer leaders. You'd see people praying. Our noon sets are a little bit more packed because just more people are awake and around. And same thing at 6 to 8 at night. And so we just found this rhythm of life that was really healthy for not only our community, but our city. And I think this is really important language for people to hear. We look at what we do as like, we're actually feeding a city. We're feeding the city. We're nourishing a city with not just food, but we're nourishing our city with the presence of God.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Worship Fuel Show. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of loopcommunity.com and the host of the Worship Fuel Show. And today, I'm very excited to welcome friends from Upper Room. We've got Jonathan Lewis and Oscar Gamboa. And we're going to talk about songwriting, worship culture, their new project that they've been working on that they just released, and all sorts of things worship. So type down in the chats what's one thing you're walking away from this interview with. And let's go ahead and bring in Upper Room. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Matt, so glad to have you.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you guys with us on the show. Thank you. Oscar, did I totally like mess up your last name there?
No, he didn't. He actually said
Perfectly. Gamboa, cool. So Jonathan and Oscar, are so glad that you guys are joining us today for Worship Fuel. You're with Upper Room in Dallas, Texas. Tons of great songs coming out of there. We've got them all on Loop Community, on CCLI. And I know that a lot of worship leaders who are watching this are blessed by your music. So can you guys just give us an idea of like, how did you both get started with Upper Room?
Awesome. Well, first of all, Matt, thanks for having us on the show, and thanks for everybody watching. Just really humbled that people are listening to our music and being a part of our community. And I'll start. Oscar's actually been here longer than I have. I came in 2016, and one of my good friends invited me to a worship night. I think it was a Sunday night, and I came, and man, I knew I met my tribe. I'd been around a lot of them before. But probably a lot of people listening to this can relate when you just feel like you found your people.
Yeah. You know?
So happy that I've just been a part of that since, like I said, 2016.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what's your role with Upper Room right now, Jonathan?
I'm the worship pastor.
Okay.
Yeah, right here.
That's awesome. And then Oscar, you've been there for how long?
I started coming 2012, so it's been... How long is that? Like 13 years, 12 years?
Long time. Is that when the church started?
The church started in 2010.
Okay.
So 2 years in, yeah. So the way I got involved, I mean, the way I started coming was I got into, there was a preacher that was going to speak at Upper Room that I was kind of like following. And he was speaking at a church called the Upper Room. And my friend's like, we should go. So I looked up the church and it had like literally just like, there's a MapQuest link and hours of like prayer and service. And I was like, what's this church all about? Mm-hmm. But I'll go. So we ended up coming to the church. It was 5 p.m. And, you know, I just fell in love with the worship culture. You know, I was serving at a church. It was like a bigger church, you know, and it was really sweet just to see like, wow, like it felt like family, felt like home. You know, like I grew up whenever I got saved. I just loved the presence of God through worship and music, and I remember like really experiencing that like the family aspect. And so I just started coming. It was 5 p.m. It was after church. So and then I think 6 months in, I was like, yeah, I feel led to make this my home. So I made that transition.
That's awesome. And cool your story. Role, like, oh yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I Oscar didn't mention this, but him and his brothers, who have been just a huge part of our worship here and even the sound that people hear of making that sound, but they would ride the bus back and forth to church mm-hmm. and throughout the week, and so it was before they had any of them could drive.
Yeah, so I was like freshly out of high school. My brother was still 15, so it's like we're kids, you know.
Yeah.
Just hungry, and we take the DART, you know. Dallas, you know, the public transportation infrastructure is pretty bad, so I know that firsthand.
Yeah. That's funny you say that, because I remember, I think I came, did they ever do a passion conference in Dallas?
They have, yeah.
I remember like probably a decade ago, I came to a passion conference and I had to take the public transportation. I think I rode the buses. And I don't, from the airport maybe, or it was like, and I remember it being like a total disaster. I was like, this is like so bad.
Yeah, it's like, it makes no sense, but yeah, it still works.
Yeah, it does work. But just you bringing that up, I like literally forgot about that memory. But okay, so sorry, sidetrack there. What is your, you're on staff at the church. Both of you guys are on staff at the church, I'm guessing, right?
I'm not, but Jay Lewis.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And so, Jonathan, are you like overseeing all the like set lists and band scheduling and that type of thing at the church?
Yeah. So our primary, most people might know this about us, but our primary emphasis is prayer. And so throughout the week, we have a prayer room in our church. It's open from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. On Saturday, there's a prayer set from 10 to noon. And so that's kind of how our community, you know, we kind of come around the place of prayer. And so yeah. I think there's about 200, just over 200 people who serve in the place of prayer, volunteering throughout the week, musicians, singers, prayer leaders. So that's just a huge community just within itself. And so there's kind of a team of us who kind of oversee that.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, organize. I call it herding cats. Because it's a bunch of creatives, and so it's just like herding cats, really, creatives.
Yeah, that's a tough job. And then Oscar, what's your role?
So my role is like musician, MD, and then for the album, the producer. So that's kind of my role.
Okay, sure. Yeah, you're making the music. Yeah, making it all happen there.
Making it all happen.
That's awesome, man. So you guys have just released. You've released a ton of music. Like,
yeah.
How often are you releasing music? I feel like, is it a song a week or something? Because I feel like if you go to your Apple or Spotify account, it just goes and goes and goes and goes, the recordings you guys have.
Yeah, so it's part of the culture that we've created. Is like, we kind of have two different lanes. One is like just moments, which is like songs that cover songs or moments that happen on the weekend services, on the prayer room, that we just feel led to like just kind of release. You know, I think part of the culture that we love is like, hey, just here's like a sneak peek into our day-to-day, week-to-week church life. From there, what we did is we would find songs or moments that we feel like really carried the heart of the church and carried the heart of the culture here, and then we're just kind of do some post editing and overdubs a little bit and mix and master it and release it. And we just found a lot of life there because it's there's beauty to that, you know? So it's kind of like the low hanging fruit side of things. And then when it comes to like songs and albums, what we would do is like, that's more intentional. So we would write, with just the people at the church and, you know, people outside the church, just friends and family that are just, you know, from the church and stuff. And we would pick songs and, you know, like, and songs that we feel like really carry the heart of the church, you know, I think part of our calling is to minister to the Lord, which is just worshiping God. You know, like we want to give language to our worship leaders and to our body and to the greater body, like songs about God to the Lord. And that was our big focus, because even with the 1350 album, it's like part of our heart was we wanted to serve the body. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, our body, but the global church, but also we want them to have permission that you can also use your creativity and you can actually sound different and it still be worshipful, you know, because I've also realized like it's really cool to like have that ability and give people the permission to do that as well.
Yeah.
But even like one of the songs were like, we switched time signatures, which again, it's like, for a church setting, it's like, oh my goodness. But also like, I'm like, I've never heard a worship song that switches time signature midway. I just wanted people to have the permission to love God truly with their hearts, you know, with a pure heart and also with their craft as well.
Sure. Yeah. That's amazing. I can predict a lot of train wrecks if churches try to play that song with the time signature changes.
Unless you have tracks.
Unless you have a track. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I'm sure we've all been there where like there's a song that maybe is in 4/4 and you like somehow got stuck into playing in 6/8 or vice versa. I think like one time I played How He Loves and it's supposed to be in 6/8 and like somehow we like were in 4/4 and it like was so weird.
Yeah.
So you guys released this album, 1350. Or is that how you guys are saying it? Is it 1350? Is it 1350? Like what's
1350. Yeah.
1350. Yeah. So tell us what 1350 means and tell us about the album too.
So part of the album was, it was kind of a crazy story because we've been trying to do an album for like 2 years and just things weren't really like clicking. You know, we had to go back to the drawing board so many times with songs and even the way of releasing it. So we're like, what if we do it on Sundays? But Sundays felt a little tough because, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, it's like you want to serve the church, and adding a new song sometimes can kind of feel like, you know, it's like you got to do it a few times before you actually feel warmed up about it. So we're like, we're just kind of going back and forth. And we decided, we're like, hey, let's do a worship night. We have songs, let's do a worship night. And then we were going to do it in June. And then that got pushed back to August. Well, the thing is too, during the same time, we're also transitioning buildings. So 1350 is the number, it's 1350 Manufacturing Street, which is the where we used to actually do church and do prayer sets. And then we're there, we're currently trying to move buildings. And then for some reason, we ended up doing the live recording the last week of us actually doing service. I think it was the last thing we did. One of the last events that we did at 1350 Manufacturing. And I think we're here for 7 years, right? Mm-hmm. We're here for 7 years and it's like, there's so much beauty to it. You know, when I think about 1350, the location, it's like, it's where I really like found my history with the Lord. It's really where I found my friendships, you know, established my friendships. I got married during that time. You know, we wrote so many songs. I think this is where Upper Room started to get, you know, things started to like get known more for Upper Room. So and I think the beauty of it, it's like, after we did the night of worship, we did two nights, a friend of mine said like, hey, this feels like a crystallized version of the season, you know, of like the last 7 years, you know, what we used to do with friends and worship and write songs mm-hmm. and just love the Lord with all our hearts. And so that's kind of why we named it that. We're like, it's more for us than for everyone else. You know, it's pretty cool, I think, 1350, but it's just like a, hey, here's like a really like just small bit of what the Lord has done the last 7 years mm-hmm. through songs, through music, through prayer, through, you know, we did communion that night. There's just so much beautiful, like beauty to it.
Yeah, that's special. What does the album creation process look like for you guys? Like who's involved? I'm guessing for sure you are, Oscar, since you're producing it all, but like, how do you decide it's time to create an album, recording it? Who's on it? How do you decide like who plays on the album? Are you using musicians outside of the church? Like, are you using session players or how does that work?
So we use mostly people from within our church. We're like lucky enough to have great talent. You know, I think we have a very, very deep bench mm-hmm. of musicians and singers and worship leaders. But when it comes to like the creation of it, part of a value of mine is like, when it comes to the moments, that's like a, you know, it's like a day-to-day thing. You know, it's like, it's more of a maintenance versus like a creation.
Yeah.
But when it comes to albums, a value of mine is like, you kind of have to like, it's almost like, you know, when you birth a baby, you know, it's like, you kind of have to like, you can't prematurely birth it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's what it took 2 years of actually going back, seeing if we have songs, who's a part of it, who's not a part of it, you know, like, because before that, it just felt really premature. But I think the fact that it was in our minds is the first step. The second step was like, hey, let's find it. Let's see if you have any songs. So we would do writing camps.
Yeah.
I would also write it separately. We would write together, you know. And then we would see which songs really felt right. And then we would even try some songs on Sunday to see if it like landed. And within the process, like we figure out like what sound do we want. You know, we're like, what are we looking for? I think part of the beauty of Upper Room and me being a part of it for so long is like, I was able to like, when it comes to songs and like sound, mm-hmm. I'm highly aware of like, you don't want to pivot too crazy when it comes to creatively, you know, you want to slowly pivot. So I kind of saw where we've been and where we want to go creatively. So it's like, all right, this is how we sound, and we want to make sure you honor some of the stuff, like the feel, the vibe. You know, luckily some of the band members are my brothers and cousins, so like we can talk through that too as well. They're a huge piece to it as well. And then we added some new players as well that were part of the prayer room. You know, I think about Dave Bautista, he played perks, and then Todd played guitar as well. And then we did use Antonio and Allison. They basically play for everything. Like, they're like a blessing to the body of Christ. They played strings. So I think any string parts that you hear is like at any album, it's them. And they're very, very good. And I think after that, we just went through like pre-production. And we're like, hey, we want it to feel more organic, more acoustic, but we don't want it to sound. We also want the sound to be very elevated as well. So we're like, and also we're like, hey, we actually, when it comes to drum sounds, we also were like, we want to make sure that you're not just recording from like an X32 or like, you know, just basic stuff. We actually brought part of my studio and part of my friend Brandon's studio to the church. So it's like, we had compressors, we had preamps, like we had top of the line stuff that we're like, we just want to make it the best that we can.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's like, we did some rehearsals. You know, we had some pre-production before that, just some stems and some vibes. And we took a week of like, just dial in the band first. And once we dialed in the band, it's like, we kind of locked in the sound as a band. You know, we had some pieces with, you know, like usually what we do is like, if you write the song, you usually sing it. So we did part of that too, but we also want to be inclusive with some of our new people as well. So we're like, hey, would you be open to sing the song? And they were so down as well. Yeah. So me, Jaylee, and Autumn at the time, we really helped dial in who's singing and who can really carry the song in a really great way. And then from there, once we got kind of got all those pieces, it's like there's so many pieces you got to figure out. Oh, we just press record, and man, I think the chemistry was there because we were thinking about it. You know, me and my brothers produced the album, so we had the chemistry within the band, and then we include some others, and they just added so much value to the sound. And it's like, it felt like after we recorded the song, and there's some even flow moments that we did that we actually never released, but it's like, you just really felt like the band was tight. The leaders felt really tight and free to kind of do whatever they need. You know, they feel the freedom to sing the song and fully carry it. And if they wanted to flow, and it was just like, once you have a solid band and you have solid singers and you have solid songs, it's like the production kind of, you know, you're just more stewarding than like trying to make something happen. So I think during the night, that's kind of how I feel. Like, you're more stewarding what God's doing, stewarding the sound, stewarding the songs, and carrying it to the finish line.
I want to ask you just a very practical question and try to break it down very practically. Like, if you're talking to a worship leader who's trying to figure this out, when you talk about those flow moments where like the worship leader goes off script a little bit and wants to maybe do something different or like sing a couple, you know, something new. Who's following who there? Like, is the band following the worship leader, or is the worship leader following the band? And how do you like sync up the two? Like, especially if it's never been rehearsed.
Yeah.
How does like, how does that happen without it being a total train wreck?
That's a great question. So like, usually what I tend to do, and I would love Julie to speak into it, is during rehearsals, part of rehearsing for me, we have an hour to rehearse the songs. Is like, I'm also, because we're very Floyd culture as well. So like, a lot of the guys that have been a part of it, they're in prayer serving, you know, which means like they have 2 hours to fill space or to play. So, you know, it's like sometimes we have 3 songs and you kind of have to, you know, so they've had the rounds of it. Yeah. But during like a Sunday service, I'm like, you know, we go through the song and I'm like, man, there's something on the pre-chorus. Like, I can tell the worship leader's really feeling something here. So for me, I'm already thinking, I'm like, we're probably going to do that a couple times. You know, so as an MD, I'm like taking the mental note. I'm like, we're probably going to do this. And a prime example is like, we did a song with Jaylee and I think Elissa, we did a song, Consider Him. And there's just like one phrase in the chorus that she's like, man, I really do feel that. So as an MD, I try to structure the song the way it needs to be structured. So it's like, let's say the song is 5 minutes and she really wants to do the chorus. You know, I make sure within reaching tracks at the time, I would double the chorus as well, and also have the ability to loop it, go back to it if I needed to, and go to the bridge after she signed the bridge. So I would put some structure to it, and I'm also highly aware too. So like, whenever we've created a culture of like, they tell me where they want to go before would get there. So let's say they want to repeat a verse, you know, like right before we hit the verse, they're going to do the verse signal, and then we go back to it.
Okay.
And we kind of keep the same structure, knowing that like the dynamics are going to go to normal back to the chorus. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think I try to structure it too. And then too, when it comes to new worship leaders, I usually tell them like, hey, let's do the song the way it is. And once we get to the flow part, let's just flow on the chorus and bridge. And let me know where you're going. And then I'll tell the band when to build and when to go all out. And then if you want to go off the page, I usually hold the one sus. And then I establish a progression. I have an MD mic that only the band and worshipers can hear. And then I establish a progression. And if it's a new band, I'm like, hey, let's go to Tom's here. Let's build here. Let's go all out. But I'm also the worship leaders cue me where to go. I'm also following where they're going. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like how I function with flows.
Yeah. Interesting. First of all, before I jump into talking about the prayer room, because I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. My very first memory of ever hearing about Upper Room was when the song Surrounded, Fight My Battles, mm-hmm. was like blowing up. And I think, were you guys like the first recording of that song or something? Sure. Like, how did you find that song? Like, where did that come from?
So the story of that song is that, well, the night that happened, our pastor, Michael Miller, was preaching on the blood. And at the end of his sermon, he just felt like he was actually talking about how the blood speaks and how the blood speaks a better word. And so one of his phrases was, if the blood speaks, he believes that the blood sings. And so he asked Elissa and the worship team, he said, would you come back up? And he goes, I don't know what's going to happen. It was kind of like a step of faith, you know, like for us, it was kind of, you know, we would do this a little bit more. And so, but even with that being said, Alyssa has said that when she got up there, she wasn't feeling anything. It wasn't like she was gripped with like, oh, I have to sing this, or I feel something divine, you know, inspiration. But when she got up there, she said she had a memory of singing something, a little phrase in the prayer room. And I think, were you in the prayer room? Yeah. So Oscar was playing, and I think, so she just starts singing this phrase, and it was a phrase that she had sang months before in the prayer room, I think with just her, maybe Oscar and two other people. And, but she just starts singing that, you know, this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded. And that just kind of comes out. And that was all it was. I think it's like 17 words, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's 17 words was, but it was just really powerful, I think, because of what we were talking on and just the Lord's anointing on it. And so we had started capturing things. Here's the kind of the quick version of that. That's when we first started capturing things in our church. A lot of our music is called moments. And so like we were just dripping moments from what was happening in the prayer room or services. And so we had put that moment up on YouTube, just kind of, man, we thought it was really powerful. It really affected our community. And then a little bit later, I think Michael W. Smith's producer had seen it, mm-hmm. and he told him about it and said, I don't know, I just feel something on this song. Showed it to Michael W. Smith, and then Michael W. Smith was like, man, I feel like I should put this on my album. And at that point, there was no song to it. Again, it was just still 17 words. Mm-hmm. And so that's when he put it on his album, and man, it's just been... Jeez. To watch God move through it, you know, 17 words. It's just been
that
amazing.
Wild. That song blew up and went all over the world. I remember that's when I first heard of Upper Room. I'm like, who are these guys? What's happening? Yeah. And that's a powerful song. And that's cool. I did not know that story, that it was actually, mm-hmm. it happened in like a flow moment in a way, like did, spontaneously.
Yeah. And I think it's powerful for even people to hear, like, you know, Alyssa's story and that she got up there. She wasn't really gripped by anything, but she had just had this memory of this little thing that she had sang a couple of months back. And just, I think for even worship leaders or singers to even recognize these little memories of maybe something they sang years ago or months ago or weeks ago, but you know, like that's true inspiration. You know, like we wouldn't think, man, she was totally like, just overcome with something, but it was just this little memory.
I think her brother texted her.
Oh, she didn't even feel it. Her brother texted,
was like, hey, Surrounded, you should sing that. She did. For the flow. Wow. Yeah, so.
That's wild. So thanks for sharing that. I love hearing that. I feel like that's, now I know when I play that song, I know where that came from. That's amazing. So one amazing thing about your church is that you do the prayer room. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. For those of us who have no idea what that is, can you tell us like what it is and how it actually works?
Yeah, so the prayer room is, I said this earlier, but I'll just say it again because it's worth repeating, is really the central hub of what we do. We, you know, in the early days, you know, we would say we really struggled with finding our identity of knowing, are we a church or are we a prayer room? We don't really know. So, but I say all that to say is we have found such life in this rhythm of kind of, we call it coming in and going out. And so we have, our culture's really kind of built around coming to the Lord morning, noon, and night. And so David references this in the Psalms. He says, like, I think it's Psalm 51. He says, I cry out to the Lord at noon, evening, and then the morning. That morning, noon, and night kind of rhythm has just been so powerful for us. And so, like, the way that we look at it is, and when I say corporate sets, so from 6 to 8 in the morning, there is a worship team. So you would walk in there and you'd see a full worship team with prayer leaders. You'd see people praying. And there may be no people in the room, just this worship team, and there may be 50 people in the room. Our noon sets are a little bit more packed because just more people are awake and around. And same thing at 6 to 8 at night. And so we have worship going on in between those sets during the day now, just because our community is much more, it's much more larger. But in the early days, we were really faithful to just this coming in and going out rhythm. And when I say coming in and going out, what it means is for a teacher who works and they feel called to the ministry, but their job right now is teaching. Or for the nurse, you know, who's working in a hospital, but they feel called by the Lord to do this. It's they can go in the prayer room at 6 o'clock in the morning and they can minister to the Lord and they can get filled up with his presence, but then go to the hospital and actually minister to people and carry that presence that they were filled up with into wherever they're at, whether it's marketplace or ministry. And so we just found this rhythm of life that was really healthy for not only our community, but our city. And I think this is really important language for people to hear. We look at what we do as like we're actually feeding a city. We're feeding the city. We're nourishing a city with not just food, but we're nourishing our city with the presence of God. And so people come into the prayer room. They may have a lunch break, so they'll come in at noon, maybe spend 30 minutes or an hour, however long they can. Or they may come in after work, but it's this ministry to the Lord, but then they go out to, again, their jobs or their families, and they carry that same presence to the Lord. And so we really look at it as nourishment.
Is it happening 24/7?
It's not 24/7. Like I said, it's just 6 in the morning to 8 at night.
And, okay.
Yeah.
And is there music the whole time?
Yeah. So there's music going on. Like if we were to walk in the room right now, there's music going on. There's someone singing. Another way to think of it, that we think of it, is just that, man, we are a community of just priests tending to the flame of the Lord. And so we kind of do that all throughout the day.
Yeah. How do you have that many worship volunteers or worship leaders to fill 6 to 8 o'clock every day?
Well, when we first started building, we were really faithful to just three times a day.
Yeah.
And some of those times didn't look like full bands. Some of them looked like an iPod, you know, playing music and someone praying. Yeah. And then sometimes it looked like maybe somebody with an acoustic. But what we were faithful to what we knew God called us to, and that was morning, noon, and night. And so the more, I think, really, this is important for people to hear too. The more that we found that we were faithful to just that thing, that small thing, which is really not a small thing, but it's we were just faithful to just morning, noon, and night. Let's just show up morning, noon, and night. We actually found some. I mean, like right now, we have about 170 to 200 people serving in the place of prayer throughout the week. musicians, singers, prayer leaders. And we have about 200 more waiting to just serve. And the only thing I can really trip, because I've never seen anything like that in my life. That many people just want, you know, usually in a local church, you're looking for volunteers. You're looking for good musicians.
People.
Yeah. I mean, we have people that are amazing musicians, amazing singers who, you know, are just serving and no one would know them. And so the only thing I can attribute that to is just, we were super faithful to that little small thing of just coming morning, noon, and night.
Yeah. And they want to be in the house of the Lord. Like there's nothing like being in his presence. And I feel like that probably is just drawing people. And then they want to stay and come back.
Exactly.
I think that's a beautiful thing. Is it, is this live streamed at all?
So we live stream Monday through Thursday from 10 to 4. So 4 hours a day we live stream. We would like to do more, but that's where we're at just capacity wise with our media team, and we're trying to grow that. We'd love to stream a little bit more.
And a musician comes in and just plays whatever songs they feel like playing in the moment. Like there's no lyrics on the screen or anything, right? Like, is it planned? No. It's just very spontaneous.
Very spontaneous. The only thing that we really put a value on is that, you know, like I lead a Monday 12 o'clock set, and I've been doing that for a while, but really the value is that I would just come with an offering, and I would come with a Thanksgiving offering.
Yeah.
And then, you know, however that fleshes out over the next 2 hours, we're going to go there and explore. So
that's pretty awesome. That sounds like something that I personally would love to do. Like, I wish my church had something like that, because I would love to like just bring my guitar and sing and, you know, for an hour, like just kind of, I grew up in the Vineyard Church movement.
Oh yeah.
And my dad was a Vineyard pastor. And I remember like we had services where, we just like flowed in like worship and like new songs and old songs and pieces of songs. And I could do that for hours, honestly. So if I had a place where I could do that, that just sounds incredible.
Yeah. And that's, bro, what you're saying is we are finding that is in the heart of his bride right now, his church.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, that wanting to come in with just an open, almost like what you would do in your home, you know, like, just by yourself, and people are so gravitating towards it. Mm-hmm. So
how have you seen these prayer times transform your worship team and your church? Because I'm sure, I mean, this sounds like it would be very transformative to whoever would be involved.
Well, I'm sure I'd like to hear what Oscar says on this one, but I would say for myself, you know, like one of the things that we hold very dear to us in the place of prayer, and again, knowing that the place of prayer is, that's central to anyone. So like we just released an album. Well, we're excited about the album. We love what happened on the album. But our real value is for what we, like me and Oscar do, and we do a 10 o'clock Wednesday set and together. And we've been doing that for a while. But like our value is that that we would connect there, that we would minister to the Lord there. And so that's the real value. And that would be the other thing that would lead me into say that, you know, that room and that prayer room kind of vets. When I say vet, it vets like it vets ambition that you didn't know you had in you. It vets things that, you know, like things that you struggle with, things like that. The presence, and that's why I would say the presence really transforms. It has transformed me in my walk with him. And so I would say this just from a personal experience in that room. I feel like that prayer room has made me a more humble person. It has really dealt with a lot of things that, you know, secret things, hidden things. There's just been exposure in that room in front of his presence to me personally. And so I think that's the value of that room and that prayer room. But Oscar, I'd love for you to answer if you have any.
Yeah, I think prayer, I think you have to define prayer, because prayer is very, there's a lot of different definitions of, when you think of prayer, you can think of 10 different definitions, you know, and I think for Upper Room, one thing that I valued is the simple definition of prayer, which is just relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. So prayer is me talking to God, my relationship with God. And I think it's taught me, because I love the church. I love the global church. And I think there's a beauty to, like, you know, there's a first commandment, second commandment. It's like, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your neighbor as you know, and also love your neighbor. And I think so many times the church can have it backwards. You know, it's like, we're about people, you know, and God's all about people. You know, he really, really is. But it's like, when you love him first and you're transformed by, you know, when you become who you behold, and if you behold Jesus, it's like you become like him. Mm. And yet can actually love people without any strings attached. And that's one thing that I've learned. It's like you start to realize that, like, you know, because even like workspace, you know, like when you start to do things for God, it's like that can actually become your identity. But the beauty about the prayer room is, like, you realize that he is everything, not even what I do. You're like, almost like the motivation of what you do for God gets shifted, because you realize that he is everything. He's true food, he's true drink. Even the songs that we do, the songs we write, the albums that we release, you know, whatever you do in your workplace, like, that becomes secondary, and he becomes first, and he becomes the leader of your life. And you start to develop a true, like you start to see God and Jesus as a real person, and you start to actually commune with him as a person through scripture, yeah. You know, and the next thing you know, you realize you have people around you that you're like, oh, you also love Jesus as well.
Yeah,
you love his bride and you love worship. And next thing you know, you're surrounded by a community that loves the Lord. And that's one thing I do value for it. It's like, you know, when it comes to music and worship, it's like, you know, it's like we have the songs that, like, give you language to sing, but we also have the moments of, like, man, we can just sing. You know, it's like things that are script and things that are kind of like, mm-hmm. when you're having a true conversation with someone, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. You're like, man, it's been 3 hours. How did 3 hours go by so quickly? And I think that's how I view prayer sets. It's like you're having a conversation through music or through lyrics or through melody with the Lord, with people around you. And you're like, man, like, that was really like the revelation of God. And I think another aspect of the prayer room too that I value about room is like what faith is. You know, so many times we think faith is, I believe God's going to do X, Y, and Z. But I think it's a part of faith. But faith is, I believe in who God is. As a healer, I believe that who God is, a provider. And that's when you start to realize that's the daily bread that he wants to give you himself. Mm. And you realize that himself is, he's provider, he's healer, he's deliverer, you know, he is comfort. There's so many different names of God. And then that becomes real in your heart. And I think when that becomes real, you actually can write real songs about God, because you know God. You know who he is through scripture. So, and then you realize that the prayer room as a community, it's like we are just beholding the Lord together, and you realize that that's just an expression of God, of a community in relationship with God, you know, on the weekends or through the prayer sets. That's what I've seen in it. And then even pastors come, you know. I think back in the day, like I remember there's a story of a church nearby that they would go through, like, you know, if someone had a heart issue, they'd go through like their 10-step program, which is all beautiful. And if they still had the issue, they're like, hey, they're sending Miller a message like, hey, this person's going to come from our church. I think him sitting in prayer and in the presence of God for a season is going to do wonders for them. Mm-hmm. It's like, can you just be aware of them? So they would come, and like their life would come and be transformed just in the place of prayer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Through the presence. So it's even like much greater than just Upper Room, the church. Like, it's really has blessed the body of Dallas. Leaders come and they get revelations for their sermons. You know, there's teachers that get their curriculum through prayer sets. Just, you know, they bring it to the Lord, and the Lord gives them insight for it. So I've just seen it from a both like heart level and also from a practical level. That's what I've seen the fruit of what a people do. You know, like it seems little, but you realize the impact that it does.
Yeah,
long term.
That's awesome. I love it. So with the album 1350, I know it's like asking to pick your favorite child, but is there one song on that album that you really would love for worship leaders to check out? Like, hey, listen to the song. Maybe they could implement it at their church. Is there one that you think is really going to kind of soar?
Can I have three?
Three? All right. As long as they're in order, one, two, three.
Okay. One being the best. I'll start with three. I think number three, I would say Lamb of God. think Jaylee led it. I think the more I listen to it and the more we do it, I'm like, this song is so good to lead. It's so fun musically. I think the concept of the song is powerful and unique. And I think it's really, really good. We did it in a prayer set yesterday and I was like, man, like there's something to the song that I really enjoy. Number two is Consider Him. That one actually caught me by surprise. That one was just like a good, like, listen. You can do it at church, but also it took me some time to understand it, but listen to the lyrics and it actually like really ministered to you. And then I think number one is The Church. We wrote that one with some friends from Bethel, and I think it's a much needed song for where the church is at today. You know, it's about unity in the church and how we're in this together and how, you know, the gospel is still alive and still working today. And it just like, I think it's a unifying song for the bride.
Yeah. So good. I would probably pick Consider Him. I remember, I'm only saying this because there was a point in the night when we were recording it and we sang that there's this one line in the song. It says, my weariness is swallowed up in the kindness of our covenant. And I remember thinking, who in the world wrote that? Such a powerful revelation. Yeah. And I was crying that night just because I felt the Lord so near in just that line. And so I hope that I say that because I hope that that song touches people like it touched me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's an amazing line. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to, hearing this album, and it's out now. We have all the tracks and the charts at Loop and on Song Select. So worship leaders, if you're out there, go wherever you get music, listen to 1350 and listen to those songs. I think they're going to be a blessing to your church. You guys, next time I'm in Dallas, I'm going to ride the bus, ride the public transit over to the prayer room.
Come on, bring your guitar.
Just make sure you have a 3-hour like window to get to church.
to get there.
Or you can take a 30-minute Uber. So
I would love to see what you guys are doing there with the prayer room. That's pretty amazing.
I'd love to have you.
That's really special. You guys, I also want to just say that I really appreciate, I can just sense like just humility all over both of you guys. And I know that like that probably trickles down as well, like to your team. And I just want to say, like, I just want to encourage you in that that's not something you see every day, sadly, even in the Christian music space. But I think I just talking to you, I'm like, man, these guys are just so humble and like real, down to earth. And you're about the right things. So keep going.
Thank you, bro.
And thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. God bless, guys. See you later.
See ya.
All right, everybody. Great conversation with Jonathan and Oscar from Upper Room. Make sure you go listen to their new album, 1350, wherever you get music. We've got all the charts and the tracks at Song Select and Loop Community. So go check it out now. Get the resources right now after this interview. Go listen to Consider Him, Lamb of God, and The Church. Excellent resources there for your church. So anyways, hope this was a blessing to you. Hit the subscribe button to stay tuned for future Worship Fuel shows, and we'll see you next time.